in. Fast Break Podcast, Thursday, November 7th, 2024, episode 20. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kowisenberg DFS. It's Thursday, so I'm joined by my good buddy, Adam Pfeiffer. You can find him at apfeiffer24 on Twitter. Adam, I guess I have this question to ask you. Which team is more fun to watch right now, the Bills or the Cavs?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're loving life right now.
I am, because I also got the call up. I'm here every Thursday now going forward, so that's fun. But I'm happy to be here. Got to catch the end of the Cavs game, I guess more so towards like the end of the third. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of insane that they have had arguably the greatest basketball player of all time for a long time and have not started a season as good as they have this year. It's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised to hear that stat earlier this morning myself. And as you mentioned, right, got the call up. I would say, right, we converted your two-way contract to a standard podcast contract here. Adam going to be joining the Fast Break every Thursday moving forward. We'll still get Mike Randall on Mondays.
A lot of college basketball for him to deal with right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, college hoops. It's getting started this week. I know Mike Randall himself has been on fire here early this week with the sides and totals and all of that stuff. You can catch him on the College Basketball Betting Show at FTN Fantasy. Lots of things to talk about here, because again, Monday night we had every single team in action. Then we had another 12-game slate on Wednesday, and there's a number of games from last night that I kind of want to dig into here, Adam. And let's start with the kind of the matchup du jour in the Western Conference last night. You had the Nuggets hosting the Thunder. We had already seen these two teams play. The Thunder took care of business in a big way the first time around. But last night, Denver, 124-122, victory over Oklahoma City behind 23 points, 18 boards, 16 assists, two steals and two blocks from Nikola Jokic. And, I mean, we cannot leave out Russell Westbrook, 29-6-6.
Especially because the last time we did a podcast, I was talking about how bad they've been when he's on the floor. So obviously no Jamal Murray, no Aaron Gordon. Dude, I feel a little stupid.
Okay.
Because last time I said Denver has no chance to win the title. And then Jokic is like, oh, all right, hold my beer. His stats, by the way, obviously it's incredibly early, but they're like better than some of his MVP seasons right now. It's just absurd what he's doing. Yeah. I still think they're well behind OKC. Like, if we're just like, obviously to beat them is great, but
right.
I mean, when you have, in my opinion, still the best player in the world, maybe I shouldn't have discredited them so quickly.
Sure. And I mean, again, what else are we going to do but overreact over the first 2 weeks of the season? Three straight wins though for Denver, right? And there was no Jamal Murray last night, still coming back from that concussion. And then since we last recorded on Monday, Aaron Gordon has been ruled out multiple weeks now.
You, by the way, you asked for less injuries last time, and it hasn't might have even gotten worse.
Not getting my wish, not anywhere close to it. But I think, like, kind of like you mentioned, right, I think last night was a really good reminder of why you can't count a Jokic team out, right? We've seen it before where it's a very shorthanded, like you think back to the year that Jamal Murray sat out with the knee issue. You think about other opportunities where they've been shorthanded, where like Michael Porter Jr. out for an extended period of time and the Nuggets just keep rolling. Like, I do think that it's going to be tougher to stay afloat as they have in the past this season, but that's more, I think, about the level of competition and level of talent, especially in the Western Conference, just elevating kind of around the entire group there. But man, like you said, OKC, I think very still clearly the number one team in the West for me as well. But any given night, a Nikola Jokic-led team can beat anybody in this league, because you see him making others around him better. It's not just the big Westbrook game. You also have a huge second half from Michael Porter Jr., 21 points in that second half. You have Peyton Watson coming in, missing two clutch free throws at the end to seal the game, and then he blocks the potential game-tying shot down at the other end. He's actually led the Nuggets in blocks last year. Peyton Watson, I was surprised by that stat as well. You get 24 points and 8 boards from Christian Brown. It was just kind of an all-around great performance, a very, very fun game to watch last night. I think the only complaint I would have if I was a Nuggets fan is Julian Strother didn't hit his shots, but Strother in 27 minutes, 9 points, 5 boards, 6 assists. I mean, if he had hit some of those shots, right, you hit one or two more threes, maybe you're even including Julian Strother at the top of this little blurb about this game last night. It was kind of the perfect run out here for Denver. And then on the flip side, right, Thunder fans certainly not panicking. You lost to almost the perfect Nuggets game. You only lost by 2 on the road in the elevation. So,
like, I know they're missing guys, but it took those Jokic games happen more often than they don't, but it took almost 30 from Westbrook, 24 from Christian Brown. Like, and I still think the Thunder are the best team in the NBA, personally. Yeah. I just think, we talked about them last week. I just think their depth, their shooting, they have everything you would put into a recipe for a championship team. They have, you have an MVP candidate, you have shooting, you have rim protection now with the way Chet's been protecting the rim, and you have depth. And they also have versatility. Like, have you seen these, like, non-center lineups they're running out where they have, like, Caruso, Dort, J-Dub, SGA, and Cason Wallace on the floor together, and they're just absolutely swarming? Yep. It's so fun to watch.
Just wait for Hartenstein to come back, right, and you see the Hartenstein-Chet lineups. Yeah. Right? Like, but, and you mentioned, right, you've talked about before that you think the Thunder, or you have the Thunder kind of as the best team in the league right now. And last night, out in Boston, the Celtics certainly didn't do anything to dissuade you from that, because the Thunder take the close loss, but that was on the road against Denver. Like, the Warriors come in to Boston last night and defeat the Celtics in what many were billing as, like, Jason Tatum's revenge game, right, for the Olympics, for being benched and not being used a ton in the Paris games this past summer. But the Warriors say, nah, we're going to come in here and do it to the Celtics fans again. Steph Curry, again, returning from injury, right, getting that minutes limit, taking off 27 points, 7 boards, 9 assists, 4 steals, and a block. But also Buddy Hield, man. I wanted to highlight Buddy because he continues his torrid shooting pace. He's 50.7% from 3 this year on over 9 attempts per game. And I know that the 21.1 points per game mark is a little bit inflated because the Warriors have had some injuries this year. Steph being in and out, Wiggins being in and out, Melton still missing here for this Warriors team. But even if Buddy comes back down to his career rate of 40% from 3, he's just been such an asset for this team. And we should not overlook the defensive success of the Warriors so far. I believe 2nd in the league in defense right now, and just a fantastic start. The Warriors are up here, Adam. We're looking at the NBA standings, looking down to the Western Conference, 7-1, tied for 2nd in the league with the Suns and the Thunder, only behind your Cleveland Cavaliers. So
who they play on Friday.
Yeah, I know. I know we're going to talk about that one too, but I know you watched some of this one last night. What were your thoughts? Because this was, I think, for most of us, a pretty surprising victory for Golden State.
Yeah, Steph is going to be Steph. It doesn't matter what age he is, the gravity he has. And that was felt in this game because Buddy Hield and all these guys, like, I think there was a stat that the Warriors players shot like 9 of 14 off Steph assists, like off Steph's passes last night. Like, all the gravity he still has on defenses. And Buddy Hield, man, like, so far this season, almost 11 points per game off catch and shoot opportunities, most in the NBA. He's shooting 61% off catch and shoot opportunities just from the field. And then from 3 on catch and shoot, 60.9%. Obviously, it's going to come down, but it also just goes to show that, I mean, you look at some of the teams he's been on, obviously Sacramento all those years, Indiana, who was kind of sometimes playing 32 minutes, sometimes playing 16 minutes. And that was before they really became like the elite Pacers offense. And then with Philly, wasn't really consistent. This is the best situation for him to just get open shots. And we saw that against Boston. We've seen that all year. And then he's defensively been way more engaged than he's probably ever been. And then you add that to the fact that this team is running like 13 guys deep. They're tough. They're tough to beat. Do I think they're going to be a top 3 team in the West when it's all said and done? I would lean towards no, just because of some of the concerns you have with some of the health with obviously Draymond and Steph for the full season. But maybe the fact that I mentioned they are running 13 players deep and they do have this depth with all the players, Melton, Pods, Wiggins, Buddy Hield, Melton, like they're really, really deep. We know they're going to be well coached. So I guess the question is, like, I think they're legitimately obviously a good team. The question is, like, who did they pass that we had ahead of them in the Western Conference ahead of the season? Like, probably the Lakers were ahead of them. Are they ahead of the Lakers now, rest of the season? Probably.
Yeah, maybe. And then you talk about a team that has taken a turn after that first week, kind of overreaction watching those first two or three Lakers games, now 4-4, lost two straight. Obviously, we're missing Anthony Davis on Wednesday night during their loss to Memphis. But you bring up the Warriors and the deep rotation that they're running, right? This seems like definitely not a one-to-one comparison, because I think the talent floor on a team like the 2013-14 San Antonio Spurs, obviously that team won the title, right? I don't think either of us are saying that the Warriors are title contenders all of a sudden. But the idea that you can run a 12-man rotation as the Spurs did 10 years ago to win the title with nobody, a 12-man rotation, double-digit minutes, nobody averaging more than 30. That is a very similar thing that you're seeing out of Steve Kerr's Warriors here early.
And it's
this
good
year.
Players, too. It's not like just guys to come in. Like, they're all players that should be in rotations and will be rotation players in the playoffs. Like, like Gary Payton, he's somebody that's a good player. Like, they're all good players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you think about some of those guys on that Spurs team, right, who were extending the rotation to 11, 12 guys a night. But like you said, they're NBA caliber players. The Bellinellis, the Boris Diaws, the Patty Mills, right? Corey Joseph, guys that stick around in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, Anthony Melton.
I was going to say Kyle Anderson, who is like still slow-mo, but like less slow-mo this year. He's like actually the shot looks a little bit different. And it's like I'd like to think I follow the NBA more than the average person. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the game and he checks in with like a minute left in the fourth quarter. And I remind myself, oh yeah, they have Kyle Anderson, who is just a really, really, really sound player that does a lot of good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can be versatile too. Like we've seen already with, even when they've been fully healthy, the different rotations they've run out there and different lineups they've started. Like they can do a lot of different things.
We also had a huge performance last night from number one overall pick, Zachary Richaché. 33 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. 10 of 18 from the field in a win over the Knicks. So I hated to see this. I want the Hawks to lose every single game this year because their unprotected pick is coming to my favorite team. But, I mean, looking at Richaché last night, right? This is the type of game where like everybody's going to pay attention to the points. But if you actually went, and I only watched about a quarter of this game, but Richaché, his defense was actually what stood out to me. The early scoring got me to tune in, right? But then what I'm seeing and what popped off the screen to me was the two-way ability of this kid, right? He still, I believe, just turned 19 in the last couple months. This was kind of the story on him coming out of France last year, that this guy is ready to play NBA basketball and is only going to get better, that he doesn't profile as the guy that'll ever lead the league in scoring or anything like that, and maybe not make a, you know, an all NBA team first, second, third throughout his career. But I don't know, man, this was a fantastic performance against one of the better teams in the league, in the Knicks. And I would encourage anybody, if they have the ability to go back and watch, just go watch some of this game. Or next time you see the Hawks are on a slate, tune in, watch a little bit of Richaché, because I think Hawks fans are getting pretty excited about this kid. And it's before the big performance last night. I think the big performance is just making some of those Hawks fans a little bit more confident to get out there and start talking about this kid and the good things that he's doing. Like, I think he, like, in what I saw, like, he was outplaying an OG and an OB. He was outplaying a guy like Josh Hart on the other side. And for a team in Atlanta that does not have a lot of great things to look forward to in their future right now, again, they don't control their draft capital for the next three seasons. This is kind of the little tiny light at the end of the tunnel that, hey, I think we may have gotten this right, taking Rishashe over some of the other big question marks at the top of this past draft.
It's also not just him, too. Like, Jalen Johnson's been, like, amazing. Like, that duo at the wing spot is going to be pretty fun. And obviously, Trae Young is going to be one of the best point guards in the league. So, yeah, I think the Hawks have the upside to be, like, with some of these teams in the East that are really starting to – things are looking bad. Like, I think the Hawks could go up to, like, a 6-7 seed. Now, do you expect them to go and make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals? No, but look, you don't have your first-round picks anyway, so you can have the luxury of not only playing him all these minutes, but potentially trying to make a run at some meaningful postseason basketball and get that experience under his belt too. So it is a weird situation where, like, you're a team that's not going to really contend, but you might as well at least, I'm not saying go forward at the deadline and make trades or anything like that, but, like, let this guy play with Trae Young and Jalen Johnson for all these games and see what happens if he gets into the playoffs, because there's no point where it's not a benefit to get, especially a rookie, meaningful postseason minutes right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Jalen Johnson, right? Because it's not just last night where he's a little bit overshadowed.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Stat line, right? 23 points, 15 boards, 7 assists, 10 of 18 from the floor. You know, you've got Dyson Daniels out there playing 37 minutes, taking 16 shots, only making 3 of them. There's the Dyson Daniels that we all know and love after his hot start to the year. But this is also a team that has been without DeAndre Hunter for all but, I think, 2 games this season so far, maybe even just 1, right? They've got Okongwu back in the mix there. So, again, it's a team to watch. And, like you said, because they don't control their draft capital over the next 3 seasons, they have no intentions of tanking here on purpose. So I think that's a good shout by you, right? Maybe you're taking a look over at DK Sportsbook or another book and trying to see what are their play-in or maybe even play-off odds in the Eastern Conference, because you know that they're going to be running it out there full go until the end. So the Knicks, on the other hand, right, drop to 3-4, so less than an ideal start, especially with the expectations that came with the Knicks. But even at 3-4, they are still sitting in the 6th spot in the East. They are 2 games clear of both the Bucks and the Sixers at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. I do want to talk about those teams, especially the Sixers. We've already talked about the Bucks so much over the last couple weeks here on the Fast Break. But before we do that, Adam, right? The Cavs, still the only undefeated team in the league.
Like, what else can I say? Like,
yeah, go ahead.
No, like, seriously, like, I will not at any point shy away from talking about the Cavs on this podcast. But, like, they a good team keeps winning. I mean, what are we, I do want to mention one thing, though. And I kind of alluded to this last week when I was talking about how this team is kind of I think they're going to go as far, like, Mitchell's their best player, undeniably, but, like, uh-huh. I think the biggest reason that they are 9-0 right now is the fact that Darius Garland is 100% back. Like,
yeah,
1,000% back. He's been one of the most efficient players scoring out of the pick and roll. He's been clutched down the stretch in, like, each of their last 3 games, especially the game against Milwaukee on the second end of the doubleheader. When you have that, and I talked about this too, like, they haven't had to have Donovan Mitchell have that 45-point game. And if, you know, Max Strus will come back, they're getting great minutes from Dean Wade. He's been out the past couple games, and they're getting great minutes from Sam Merrill, Isaac Okoro. Ty Jerome has been, like, remember a couple years ago when Ricky Rubio was healthy and he was looking like one of the best backup point guards in the league, then they lost him. Ty Jerome has kind of filled that role for them. And then I don't have to talk about Mobley, what he's done, and Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen might be the most underrated player in the NFL, in the NBA. You know what you're getting every single night from Jared Allen. The Cavs will lose one of these days, but I'm excited for this game on Friday at home against Golden State.
Yeah, absolutely. Big weekend coming up for the lone undefeated team. And again, like, they started, right? Toronto, Detroit, Washington.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, let's see what happens when the schedule toughens up a little bit. Since then, right, they've beaten the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. They hosted the Lakers. They blew them out. 24-point win, right? Host the Magic, you win by 11. home and away against Milwaukee. You beat them both times in clutch moments in both of those games. Then you take care of business at New Orleans. It's been really fun to watch, man. And this is a team, right? They don't even have Max Strus yet, who plays a significant role for this team. So I know you're sitting there, you're smirking, you're feeling good. We'll keep our eye on the Cavs. So like I mentioned, let's go back down to kind of what are, at the moment, the dregs of the Eastern Conference. We talked about the Bucks, 1-6. Sixers, after their loss last night, also now 1-6, tied with the Bucks and the Jazz for the worst record, not just in the Eastern Conference, but the entire NBA. And now we've got Tyrese Maxey out for 2 weeks, at least, with a hamstring injury right after Paul George made his return, right? Both of those have been losses. And Joel Embiid now suspended 3 games for the altercation with the reporter that we discussed on Monday's episode. So Embiid will debut next week, but we won't have any Tyrese Maxey. And I think both of us may be considering the idea that Philadelphia might be in trouble regardless of who's healthy, because some of these ancillary pieces just have not looked great.
Yeah, Eric Gordon's been really bad. Like, Tyrese Maxey is probably the fastest player in the NBA, if not definitely top three.
Yeah.
The rest of this team is incredibly slow. Like, obviously you're going to be a slow-paced team when you have Embiid anyway, but like, I'm watching this game against the Clippers last night, and their half-court offense was absolutely terrible. They were turning the ball over a lot. The only chance they had to score was when they got in transition, and that was still sloppy. Like I said, Eric Gordon's been bad. I just don't feel like, I didn't feel great about them if they had Maxey with Embiid coming back. Obviously, they'd be way better than they've been, but, and the thing that sucks about the Maxey thing too is I'm pretty sure he got hurt like at the very end of the third quarter, like on a play. Yeah. It was a kind of like a loose ball, and he like dove on top of a player and then limped to the sideline. Didn't see him the rest of the game. Like, it's brutal right now. And Paul George looked pretty good yesterday, and it's probably not going to matter, at least for the immediate future, because as we know, Joel Embiid's the most important player on this team, but even with him returning, they're not going to do much without Tyrese Maxey either. So I don't know where they go from here. Like obviously they're going to be much, much better with Embiid, but we also have to still keep in mind he's not playing back-to-backs.
Yep.
And this week, or next week when he debuts on a Tuesday, then they play on a Wednesday, I believe, and then, so he probably won't play that Wednesday, and then I believe they have, I think it's November 12th and November 13th they play. The 13th is a game against Cleveland, so that's, you're not winning against Cleveland if Embiid's not there, and Maxey now, so it's not just the fact that Maxey's going to miss 2 weeks now. It's that there's going to be a lot of games where there's no Maxey and Embiid because of the back-to-backs.
Yep. And so, like, to your point, right, he's coming back not only on a back-to-back. That is this team's first back-to-back. And we know from best ball draft season, when we got that news, we went immediately and counted how many games does that mean Embiid is missing right off the top. There's 15 of those back-to-backs to come. So he's already missed the first 7. He's going to miss 2 more. So you debut in game 10. So now the maximum number of games Joel Embiid is going to play is down to 57. And do we really think that he's going to stay healthy for all 57 of those games?
Right.
It would be an outlier result for sure.
I mean, and you said they have 15 back-to-backs this season?
Yeah.
And you have to think, what? How many of those are going to be without Maxey too now?
Yep. Like, at least one that we know of.
Right. I mean, even with Maxey, like, they've been 1-6 this season. I know Paul George has only played 2 of those games, but you tell me there's 15 back-to-backs, 15 games where Embiid's 100% not out there? Like, what do they go, 2-13? Are they that bad?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think what also concerns me about that is some of these guys that you thought, okay, maybe like, okay, the Sixers are doing a great job filling out these roster around their main 3 pieces, but Andre Drummond looks like he's taken a step back. Like, I am no longer as confident in his ability to produce these, you know, high caliber spot starts for Joel Embiid, because we've kind of seen him get exposed a little bit, I guess, for lack of a better term, over these first 2 weeks. Eric Gordon is dust, man. This guy is washed, at least in terms of what you need out of him, what you're signing him for at this point in his career, right? Yeah. You want him to be that pressure cooker off the bench, and I think it's been a little while since he's been that. You go back to his time in Phoenix most recently, where, like, he was super inconsistent with that, right? I think Kelly Oubre is maybe one of the only guys that you have some confidence in. Like, Caleb Martin's been fine.
Dude, Caleb Martin was like 4 for 10 from the free throw line yesterday.
I don't think he's exceeded anybody's expectations. No.
The problem, too, is like every one of those role players right now is kind of being miscast because they're being asked to do more. Sure. Even with Maxey taking 30 shots, like they're being asked to do more off the dribble and stuff like that. Whereas the idea was, okay, we have Embiid in the post. These guys just space the floor, catch the ball and shoot, play defense. They're being miscast a little bit, to be fair. But at the same time, the early results, especially with Eric Gordon in particular, have been pretty bad. And we talked about this before we hopped on the podcast. Like, how is this version of this team right now saying, you know what, we need to play Jared McCain less? And I want to see Ricky Council out there too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would think at this point, especially over these next two games, like maybe you get some more tick for those guys. Because I thought McCain did pretty well when he had those more extended looks.
He had like a 20-point game earlier.
Yeah, yeah. And again, right, like you'd have to go back and watch. There's probably further context that would be provided by going and watching that game itself. But like, I don't know, man, the further you fall back, the fact that you're right now, just 2 weeks into the season, you're 5 games under 500, right? And those teams that you were trying to chase and compete against, like the Celtics, right? Like the Knicks, like the Cavs. The Knicks, you're only 2 games behind. Okay. And we know we're also 1-6 sitting there with Milwaukee. But we're now 7 games back of the Cavs. We're 5 games back of the Celtics. I know that it's too early to say that with 100% certainty, but it really feels like 1-2, maybe even the 3 seed, just kind of out of reach for Philadelphia already.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, right, you brought up that your Cavs hosting the Warriors on Friday. Let's talk about some of the games that we're eyeing here, either from a fantasy or a real hoop standpoint going into the weekend. Just 3 games tonight here on Thursday. And for me, the game of the night is the Jazz at the Bucks, and not necessarily because we're going to tune in there and see a ton of pleasing basketball, right? Aesthetically, it might still look pretty ugly, but I put in the call against this Jazz team for my Spurs last week, saying that that was a must win for their vibes. I think the same can be said of the Bucks tonight hosting the Jazz. Both teams 1-6 here. Milwaukee at home. Giannis, I think, expected to play here. The Bucks are 9-point home favorites. But if you drop this one, man, I mean, we've already had Giannis trade rumors this week. We have everybody and their mother examining this team, talking about how bad they have looked. And for good reason. This is a game you have to win if you're Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. And, like, Dame has played pretty good. Like, he played good against Cleveland. So, like, it's just the question of the pairing together has been not quite the home run we expected. But, yeah, if you lose this game, and Giannis himself has kind of alluded to the fact that if it doesn't work out, like, maybe I request a trade. Maybe I'm out of here.
Yeah. I mean, because I think ultimately – Maybe, we'll see, that winning is more important to Giannis than staying with one team through your entire career. So it's definitely, you know, look, condolences right now. I'm thinking about our old buddy Joe Metz and the Milwaukee Bucks fan base here, because it has not gone according to plan. Friday night, much bigger slate. We mentioned Warriors at Cavs. You always got to tune in to the undefeated team. But I also think Suns at Mavericks has the potential for some fireworks. Doncic against Devin Booker, always fun. And then the Bucks again. Giannis at Madison Square Garden, both teams needing a win regardless of what happens tonight for the Bucks. The 3-4 Knicks hosting the 1-6 Bucks. Giannis and MSG, I'll tune in at least for a quarter, see what's going on there.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson will probably have 40 because the Bucks cannot defend backcourt, so...
Cannot defend backcourts. It's just, yeah, who wants to get a free run at Brooke Lopez in drop coverage? Everybody, you can step right up, take your turn. Kind of a smaller slate on Saturday, a little bit different this weekend from your typical NBA schedule where you usually have the better slate on Saturday compared to Sunday. So of those few Saturday games we have, I actually think it is Brooklyn at Cleveland that I am most interested to watch. Give me some more undefeated basketball. And Adam, I know you don't want to hear this, but I would be pretty entertained if the lowly Nets can come in there, and the Nets are the team that take out the Cavaliers.
Also, Jared Allen, last time he played against Ben Simmons, Jared Allen, who was like the most calm,
yeah,
you know, yeah, happy player.
Very level-headed. Yeah.
Yeah. just Ben Simmons pushed him and Jared Allen was like, all right, bet. And that, so we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see if Simmons suits up for that.
Yeah, that's the other question too.
So on Sunday, bigger slate, Celtics at Bucks. So we're looking at a lot of Bucks games here this weekend. Of course, not an ultimate make or break, but
there is a serious chance, by the way, if you've been following football, obviously you've been following football, but like the Jets have been this hype team in the offseason. And because of that, with Rodgers and everything, they're on so many primetime games and they've sucked this season. I worry that could be Milwaukee this season, especially if a Giannis move does actually happen. It's like, great, we have all these primetime Milwaukee games and they stink or Giannis isn't there.
Yeah, I hope we keep thinking that, because you know who else got a ton of national TV games and look like garbage so far this season? My favorite team.
Yeah.
On Sunday, Celtics and Bucks. Also, Knicks at Pacers, right? Part two so far this season. This is our WWE matchup, right? You saw Halliburton and Brunson outside the ring in the offseason, so we see him for the second time this season on the court. And then Mavericks at Nuggets, Luka versus Jokic, also a matchup that we want to tune into. Let's close out episode 20 with stock up, stock down. We'll start with our stock downs. What do you got this week, Adam?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the Orlando Magic, and it's not their fault, really. It's just you lose Paolo on a team that's already had some question marks about the overall offense, and you lose the absolute catalyst. Since Paolo's gone down, they are dead last in offensive rating at like 98. It's like unbelievably bad. We know Franz is a good player, but the shooting's always been a question mark, and now you're relying on him even more. I like what we've seen from guys like Anthony Black and Jalen Suggs, but like this team, they won't reach the heights we expected. Just, and it's, again, it's not their fault. It's an unfortunate injury to Paolo, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's falling apart quickly, right? Lost their last five straight, get absolutely manhandled by Dallas, by Oklahoma City, then the 7-point loss at Indiana last night. All five of those games have been on the road, though, so certainly a friendlier schedule coming up with the shorthanded Pelicans, the Wizards coming to town, the Hornets coming to town. And at the moment, you can probably include Philadelphia in there as a plus matchup. So Magic stock down for Adam. My stock down here on Thursday is going to be Drake, because look, if you're not familiar with the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, you can go look that up. You can Google it for yourself. You can Google They Not Like Us and DeMar DeRozan's inclusion around that song. So the Kings come to play the Raptors earlier this week, and Drake decides that he's going to mean mug DeMar DeRozan essentially the entire night. And then you see him not only getting caught on camera saying some certain expletives in the direction of DeMar DeRozan, but he goes on the Raptors broadcast mid-game and says, because this was the Vince Carter banner game, right, the retiring Vince Carter's number. And so they asked Drake, the broadcasters, about who else would go up there. And Drake just kind of unprompted says, you better not put a DeMar DeRozan one up there. I'll rip that banner down myself. And first of all, shut up, man. No, you will not. Hey, what are you going to ride the crane up there and tear it down yourself? Get out of here, man. And then just like so soft, you can go see this clip for yourself. He basically whispers this stuff to himself instead of like actually confronting the guy that he appears to be mad at. So I don't know, man, it came off soft. And I think some people might say that is just kind of more of the same from Drake. So man, chill out. You're a super fan on the sideline. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a terrible look. Stock down for Drake.
I'm trying to think, like, DeMar DeRozan's definitely getting his jersey up there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan's a top four Raptor of all time. He's probably not four.
Yeah. 100%.
All right.
For me, for stock up, watched him last night. I watched the whole game, and he just keeps balling. It's Norman Powell. Most minutes per game since, like, 2018. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 25 per game, and they obviously need every bit of it without Kawhi. And I've talked about how much I love Norman Powell for a while now. Even in the games where they've had Kawhi and Paul George and even some of the games with Harden, Norman Powell comes off the bench, obviously starting out, but he comes off the bench and just says, you know what? Like, there's times where he waves off Kawhi Leonard and waves off Paul George, and he's efficient. He can do everything. He's playing better defensively. He looks awesome right now. And I think he's a huge reason why the Clippers are kind of still staying afloat right now.
Yeah, I mean, right, 25 points per game so far. And I think what's most impressive to me is that he's elevating his efficiency above those career levels, right?
This exactly.
is 10 years in the league for Norman Powell, 47% from the floor, 40 from three through his eight games, right? Starting all eight games, 33.5 minutes per game. He's 53% from the field, 49% from three on a career high, 8.5 three-point attempts per game. That's more than double his career average of three-point attempts per game. He's been fantastic. That's a great call by you.
And especially because, like, they haven't gotten great contributions on offense from Terrence Mann. Mm-hmm. Zubac has been good. Harden, like, Harden had a point last night where he had, like, 5 points. And it didn't matter because Norman Powell was just absolutely cooking. Again, like, we hope Kawhi gets back at some point. And I don't know. I've always thought Norman Powell was a really good player. I've always thought, interestingly enough, he was a player that would be perfect to come off the bench for Philadelphia. And they felt that very, very, very strongly yesterday.
Yeah. So my stock up here, I'm actually going to go to the other side of this beef. Give me stock up for Kings owner Vivek Ranadive because the Raptors come to town a few days later and Vivek is courtside wearing a shirt that says, "They not like us." So, again, if you don't know about that beef, you can go Google it for yourself. That'll do it for us on episode 20 of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Anything else for you, Adam, before we shut it down?
No, happy to be here every Thursday. I enjoy it. Happy to have basketball back. And as hopefully people have seen on social media, the stuff we're doing with data, I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah. I second all of that. We appreciate all of you tuning in, sticking with us here on episode 20 of the FTN Fast Break. Mike and I are back on Monday, breaking down everything in the basketball universe that happens between now and then.
Hope the Cavs still have zero losses when you guys are back on Monday.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see. Let's hope the Cavs have zero losses when you're back on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
This time next week, Adam. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Monday for another episode of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Till then, he's Adam, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.